Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Just like the scheduling over here is getting a little complicated, so we have Shir now, this Wednesday night, you figured that out. Next Wednesday night, I'm actually presenting some paper at Harvard about halacha. Ooh. I don't know what the heck this is supposed to be. I didn't write it yet. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's a different story. So next Wednesday night, I can't be here. Then the Wednesday after, I think I will be here, even though that's like the week between the 25th of December and whatever, but we believe that you're allowed to learn Torah that week.
The whole week?
Yeah, if you're from, you know, you don't want to tell her for a whole week. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about, we're continuing our discussion of what we call money matters. And until now, we've spoken about paying workers on time. We spoke about returning lost objects, etc. I'd like to talk briefly about stealing. Stealing is interesting in that the Gemara tells us in here in Baba Basa, Kuf Samachay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rov Begezo Miyat Barayas Hakob Lashon Hara. Rove people violate this or stealing. Now, when you think about it, like, we say stealing, come on, when do we steal? But, Zakli Gemara, most people violate stealing to some extent. And that's like a frightening concept. It's also frightening, you know, in the Ila, at the height of the year. The one thing that we really talk about is Leman Nechdal Me'oshek Yadenu, that we should stop stealing. Right? Oshek, we'll see in a few minutes, is stealing. Oshek is kovish skar sacher, that I don't pay workers. So there are lots of forms of stealing that we all end up doing, and we don't think about it. If I park in a between two parking spots, I'm stealing.
Yeah.
I'm stealing the rights that other people have. You know, sometimes in the heights, so parking spots can be very tight. You know, so sometimes you have the type of person who, like, parks in a way that, like, there's not enough room behind the car. It's not called protecting your bumper. That's called stealing. Right? You're really not allowed to do that. There are lots of forms of stealing. Rav Schechter holds, for example, that if you... stealing means that you take away people's rights. If I jaywalk and I cross... and the cars have to slow down because of me, I'm stealing their right. Now, obviously, they have no right to go 95 miles an hour down the side street, so that's not taking their right. But if they're going at a normal pace, and I jaywalk, I'm stealing their right. Now, people, unfortunately, sometimes are moreheta for stealing. People come up with all these reasons. Oh, you know what? I'm going to take certain loopholes in taxes, etc., and I'm not going to pay. And it's all for a good cause because, you know, my kids need money and this organization gets supported by me and everything is for a good cause. It's all wonderful. It's all stealing. Right? You're just not allowed to do that. And the Gemara says that stealing, rov begezel, stealing is very bad. When we're going to get up, we're going to go up to heaven, if we hope to heaven, at the end of our lives, the first question that we're going to be asked is, are we honest? Nososo v'nosato be'emuna. Were we honest? There are people who won't be able to answer that question properly, and that's very scary. So, all the mussar about how scary it is and how bad stealing is, we're done. Now, what we have to talk about is when and if is it permitted to steal? Are there any heterim that we can come up with to steal? So just like, first of all, to get into the topic very briefly, there's a number of isurim that we can talk about with respect to stealing. There's a term oshek, gezela, geneva. Right, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that even though Oshek, Gezeil, and Geneva all sound the same, nonetheless, they all have, they are different ma'isim. Oshek is I don't pay something I owe. Geneva means I steal in like a backhanded sort of way, in a furtive sort of way. I try to hide. Gezeil is like Vayigzos Achanis Mi'ar HaMitzri, that I go and I take something openly from you. Those are all different forms of stealing. Nonetheless, with all these things, the idea is I should not take money from you any sort of way. Oshek is gezel. and you violate two lavin, etc. Pirish inyan zev ikra tam lefi daiti hu mishnei tzadim. So then the chinuch writes, how come we have so many averis about not taking your stuff? One of the reasons is that God wants us to keep very far away from it. So therefore, God gives us many prohibitions. Moreover, God wants to help us. So he gives us lots of mitzvos. And he gives us averis, so that we shouldn't do that. Here also, God could have just told us in general terms, don't take somebody else's money, but God wants to help us, so God gives us specific averos. Don't do this thing. Basically, stealing is bad. Stealing is double bad, triple bad. There are so many averis involved, right? The idea is that we want to separate you from stealing. But Moshe Feinstein used to comment that I think we mentioned this in the shiur beforehand, that the reason why traditionally we start learning Maseches Bava Metzia and Eil Metzias is because when kids are young, you have to educate them, don't take someone else's stuff. If it's someone else's, you got to return it, right? These are fundamental ideas. Now, the Gemara discusses that stealing is forbidden not only if I take something from you and I plan on keeping it, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia Samach Aleph writes, Lo tignovu de kasav rachmana lomali, lo tignov amanas lemekat, lo tignov amanas shalom tashlom mekefel. I'm not allowed to take your stuff, even if I want to pay you back double. Mm. Remember, the Torah says if I steal, so I have to pay back kefel. I pay back double. So let's say I want to be nice to you. So I'm going to take it from you to be nice, so that you'll get two, no? Because you're the type of guy who wouldn't go and buy a new one for yourself. I'll steal, let's say you get two. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that. Even almanas l'shalem kefel is forbidden. It could be that the iser of geneva is an iser not only because I'm hurting you, but because I'm hurting myself, that I'm ingraining in myself bad character traits. If I get used to taking someone else's stuff, I'm a worse person, even if I'm taking it in order to help you. And then the Gemara also says, "Lo tignov amanas lemekat," and that's going to be a big topic. Lo tignov amanas lemekat. Rashi learns that lemekat means litzaer. I just want to check at you. I just want to bother you. Rav Pam used to say that, you know, sometimes people play a game with kids, that, like, you take a pen away from them and, like, you put it behind your back. You know this game? And that, like, you're kind of, you're, like, doing, this won't, the dance won't come out on tape. But you're basically, you're doing something in order to just bother the kid. Rav Pam said, that's an isudoy raisa. That's of lo tigno bam nasla mekat. That you're not allowed to steal in order to pain a person. You can't steal to help a person. You can't steal to pain a person. Basically, short end of it all is don't steal.
So now, isn't
Afikoman? Oh, so we'll talk about Afikoman in a few minutes. I have a section on page 2 called Afikoman. We'll get there.
What about don't put a stumbling block before?
So don't put a stumbling block. How's this putting a stumbling block?
No, I'm saying. You're.
Think about it. You'll get back to me when you think about it. But basically, the idea is that we're not allowed to steal under any circumstances. So here's the question. My wife has a colleague whose parents are Kenai Nahar in their 90s. Dad is still driving. Not so safe for Dad to drive anymore. So my wife's colleague went one night, traveled to where her parents live, went into the drawer, took the car with the car keys, took it away. We call that stealing. Okay. Is that permitted?
Probably.
So it sounds intuitively, come on, Rabbi, that's got to be mutter. Why? Why is that permitted? Caroline?
I mean, pikuach nefesh is...
So it could
he's
be.
Like,
so it could be
really
a pikuach nefesh.
In other
words, if dad is really going to run people over, or he himself will get hurt, so it could be a pikuach nefesh. Is stealing permitted for pikuach nefesh? We'll talk about it. I have a section on page 2 called pikuach nefesh. We'll get there. That could be. Saul, you wanted to suggest something?
I'm going to say that I don't think it's like a case where you need to do that. That's not the thing you need to do for pikuach nefesh. Like you could just stand in front of the car and, you know, not allow the dad.
Right. I mean, but that's a little cumbersome.
So
in the Sefer of Rav Roy, I'm just skipping, I'm forgetting what the Sefer is called. There's like 10 volumes, 10 black volumes, and there's like all halachos of dine mamis. I'm going blank about what it's called. So Rav Loi basically argues that there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch called an apotropos. An apotropos is someone who's considered an executor, who is a person who's responsible for others. Let's say little kids, right, who, for whatever, they're yesomim, they can't make their own decisions, so Bezin appoints an apotropos. And there are reverse cases of apotropos, which is, I've been talking about this a lot, like the sandwich generation, like I spoke about this in Shul. But the reverse case of apotropos is that kids become like the executors, like the responsible parties for their parents as the parents get older. And therefore, they're allowed to take it away because they are, by definition, appointed as an apotropos for their parents. That's his assumption. It's not bad. But we'll talk about that. Next case. A teacher.
Just going to bring that up.
Is a teacher allowed to confiscate stuff from students?
Only if they
now, I would make my students so unbelievably happy, right, if I would say no. Now, you're going to say, well, you confiscate it, but you'll give it back. That's not stealing. So the answer is that, no, that still is stealing. We read that Gemara before about Lo Tignob Amanas Lamekat. I can't take something away in order to be mitzayer you, in order to cause you pain. Most mefarshim, we'll see inside in a few minutes, understand that means if I take it away, even though I'm going to give it back, but I just want to bother you for a few minutes, that still is awesome. Isn't that what teachers do? Oh, I see you have your...
Water guns.
That's a previous generation. So my son had his Pokemon cards confiscated.
There it is.
Okay? Pokemon cards did not exist when I was a kid. Apparently it's like a thing now, if you're a second grader in Broyers. So my son's Pokemon cards were confiscated. This is like the most disturbing thing for him in life.
Yeah.
Right? Now, why do teachers do that? Because, you know why. Because having the cards out in class, is it permitted? Is it permitted to take stuff? Now, one could argue sometimes that the thing that I take is not really worth anything, right? One baseball card, right? So it is for the kid. It could be, even if it has no market value. It says in Shulchan Aruch, "Asur lignov afilu kol shehu din Torah." There's a din d'oraisa, right? Right in the section that begins teachers that you can't steal even a tiny amount. "Va'asur lignov afilu derech schok va'afilu amenasa hachzi." You can't steal as a joke. You can't steal even with intention to return it, even to pay double, even to put the guy in pain. Hakol aser kidei shelo yargo atzmo b'kach. The iser of all of this is that you shouldn't become accustomed to it. This comes from the Rambam's expression. It sounds like it's an iser d'rabbanan, but the idea of kidei shelo yargo atzmo b'kach is that, you know what, if you're going to get used to stealing, so then you're going to end up stealing much more. That would be a terrible thing. That would be very, very bad. It goes so much so. Again, the next verse I quote is like whether there's an Issa D'oraisa, stealing a tiny amount or not. But let's talk about another case. Can I steal something that has zero value? For example, no market value. Pachos Mishava Pruta, maybe there's a teeny bit of market value. Let's say I have a pile of twigs. And every twig is not worth anything, but all of the twigs together is worth a fire. No?
Yeah.
That's what you can do with a pile of twigs. So the Yerushalmi writes that it's usher to take even one twig from the pile. Because I'm going to take one twig, he's going to take one twig, she'll take one twig, the guy's going to end up without any twigs. Right? That's what Yerushalmi says. Now, I thought this is relevant. Sometimes people say, people stopped asking this question so much a few years ago. You used to get this question a lot. My neighbor has wireless. Do I have to have wireless? Why can't I just use his or her wireless? No?
You're using their bandwidth.
So you use their bandwidth. Well, if you have enough bandwidth, it doesn't really matter, because how much does it get slowed down? Right? Obviously, no one wants slow internet. You probably are too young to remember, but when my wife was doing her doctorate, we used to have dial-up.
Yes.
2400.
Yes. Dial-up. Yes. And we had like... Prodigy. Anyone remembers Prodigy?
Yeah.
Okay, this is like ancient history, but those things went slow. Today we wanted to go faster. Obviously, for a lot of people... If I take away some of your wireless, don't make it go slower. However, I think it's the same as that Yerushalmi that we mentioned. If everyone takes one twig, you're going to end up with nothing.
Yeah.
If everyone logs onto your wireless, you're going to end up with slower than dial-up. You're going to end up with something that is completely worthless. So in that case, I think it's going to really be usser. Now, yeah. So intellectual property is an interesting thing. I'm not really talking about intellectual property. Intellectual property is a question whether the halacha recognizes it at all or not. In the sense of if I create something, so do I own the idea, right? Now, it happens, I think this question is largely mooted because we have a concept in halacha called dina d'malchusadina.
Yeah.
And what that basically means is if the government, if the where you live assumes that you're not allowed to take someone's property, intellectual property, saying you're not allowed to take it. The question is, if someone doesn't patent their idea, so does that mean that they're not entitled to the rights to it because they could have patented it? I once had an Adin Torah about this. That someone was manufacturing a particular product, they can't get into the details, and someone else started manufacturing the same exact product. And it was like a great idea, like a little pouch, and great idea. But he never patented it. So does that mean that it's free for the taking? And so, whatever, we once sat on the dentist and that it's not so simple. That just because you don't patent your thing or you don't take precautions, that means someone else is allowed to take it. Not a simple case at all. But when we talk about not stealing in order to be mitza'er somebody, so the Ktzos HaChoshen over here, the Ktzos quotes from the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita is basically a sefer that gives you all the positions of various Rishonim on the topic. So the Shita Mekubetzes says that when it's usur to steal in order to be mitza'er somebody, that means that you're not allowed to steal in order to keep it. But if I steal and I'm going to give it back, then it's permitted. He says, because, he writes, Maisim b'chol yom sha'osim kach. He says, people do this all the time. And if people do this all the time, it's got to be permitted.
What is this?
All the time, people take something from somebody, and then they'll just give it back later. And everyone does it. And they do it as a joke. And they do it because they just want to annoy somebody. But how do I... So it's not nice. Of course it's not nice. But people do it all the time. And it says the Shita Mekubetzes, if people do it all the time, it can't be that when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to steal as a joke, you're not allowed to steal as a way of hurting somebody, it can't be that it means to steal and then to return it.
That's Rav Gezel.
What?
That's Rav
Gezel. Maybe. So this is what the Ktzos quotes in the Shita. And then the Ktzos says, well, the Shita might say that, the Rambam doesn't say that. And then the Ktzos says, you know what? Even though people do it all the time, right? I underline these words. So the Imkei, Mashik Kasab, the Maisim B'chol Yom, still rightly Zayar. Even though people do it, still it's Usur. The Ktzos says, I'm not allowed to steal something, right, as a joke to make you feel bad, even though I'm going to return it. That game with the kids, Right? That is usur according to the Kitzos. Now, of course, there's a fundamental question over here, which is like the Chaim Soloveitcher question, of to what extent does the fact that people do something mean that they have to be right? Can I say that everyone is wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, most of my life I've felt that everyone is wrong. But am I allowed, right? Are you allowed to do that? So the Ktsos is saying, yeah, everyone could be wrong. The Shita is saying, no, if everyone's doing it, he has to dray around and reinterpret the Gemara, etc. Okay, yes.
So, no, I say it depends. It means, like, as far as you know, it's only this generation everyone does it, you know, or if you know that it's the basics of the...
The Shita is saying that everyone's doing it. It's going back, like, for 700 years.
Right.
I don't know. Everyone is doing it. Everyone is doing it.
Also, if everyone does it and that means it's everyone agrees they're okay with it, that also means at the time of the giving of the Torah, it was that's not what stealing meant, because
assuming that it's a day. But let's go slowly. If we are right in our understanding of the Rambam, that stealing as a joke is usur midrabbanan, just that you shouldn't continue to steal in the future, so then we could say, right, we have more wiggle room if it's an issue to wrap up.
Right.
Let's go on. What?
You wouldn't say that by kashrus, where everybody eats X.
So this is one of the big differences between this generation and previous generations. That's what Dr. Soloveitchik makes the point in his article. It used to be that you learned kashrus because my grandmother does it this way, my mother did it that way, that's what we do. Today, people are more inclined to try to study from a didactic tradition, from a text, and therefore people are more likely, right, what everyone calls like the Chumrah of the Wheat Club, or whatever, people are more likely to say, yeah, sure, everyone is doing that, but isn't there a better way to do it? Can't wait, right? That's becoming more in vogue. Okay, now, it says in Shulchan Aruch also, in Hilchos Purim, that people who steal on Purim from each other, there's no lo tigzol, and there's a minhag, but you can't do something that's against what the community says. Now that halacha is very hard to understand. Apparently on Purim the practice used to be that everyone would go and like steal stuff from everybody else. And the Ramah over there writes in Hilchos Purim that there's no iser lo tigzol. Very hard to know what this means. Why not? So it's a joke, it's Purim? So the answer might be that on Purim there was some implied mechila. In order to enjoy Purim properly, I don't get it.
No.
In order to enjoy Purim properly, everyone throws something into the pool to say, you know what, I'm going to allow you to take my stuff. That could be, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but it could be that's what it is. Now, let's just go slowly for a minute. So the teacher case. Is a teacher allowed to confiscate stuff from a student? Well, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. It would seem to be Osir. The only possible kulas that we have so far is the Shita Mekubetzes, who says that to steal something for a real reason and to give it back after is permitted. Right? But the Ktsos doesn't like that Shita. Perhaps we could say the Isser is Dirabonon, and that gives us a little more leeway. I give you over here a Gemara in Baba Basra. Where is that? Did I miss something?
here,
Baba Basra. In the Afikomen section, it says Barbazid Abtezayin Amar Aleph. Darash Rava, Maidach Siv, right? The Gemara is understanding Psukim and Eov. Maidach Siv, Birkas Oved Olai Tavo, Valev Almana Aranin. Right? Eov said that I cheer up the hearts of widowers. Birkas Leiv Olai Tavo, Melamin Shaya Gozo Sodom Yisomu Mashpicho Machzir Alahem. Eov would steal stuff from Yisomim, he'd steal their fields, and then he'd improve the field and he'd give it back. Now, what the heck is Eov doing? How is that? Hey, isn't this usur of stealing? So, hard to know. The Me'iri writes on this Gemara The Meiri writes, Yesh Aveiro Shem Na'asos L'Kavonas Mitzvah Ba'af Alpi Kein Lo Hutru. If I do an Aveira in order to do a mitzvah, right, Robin Hood, right, that still is not permitted. Umahu Shenema Aderach Shebach Al Iyov Shei Gozer Kaka Shaniyam Yisom Mashbicha V'achar Kach Machsir Lahem. So what does it mean that Iyov would steal fields and then he'd give it back after they're improved? Yeira Eshel Arov His Parsei Ma'aloso Afal Pishalo Hayam Kein Hakol HaYodim Imidosr Shol Kavonis Gezei Lo Haya Lo Nemar Kan Milas Gozer Atzer Harchov Alafi Daiti. Says the Meiri that the Pshat in the Gemara is that everybody knew Eov. Eov is such a big tzaddik, and everybody knows that when Eov takes a field, he's not really stealing it. He is going to give it back. And therefore, even though the Gemara calls it Gezel, it's not really Gezel, because everybody knew. You get an impression there's like some sort of mechila to Eov. But you get an impression also that this might be the heter for teachers. Everybody knows that when a teacher takes a Pokemon card, that the teacher doesn't really, the teacher is doing it like Eov did it. That you want to make the field better, you want to make the student better, you want to improve it. That's probably what it means. It's really hard to know. It's hard to know exactly what the heter for teachers is. Some suggest that the heter for teachers might be a little different. I'll take the comments in 1 minute. That the Gemara says that a teacher is allowed to hit a student. We don't do this anymore. I remember as a kid, by the way, my principal, Henry Cash. Henry Cash was the elementary school principal in the South Shore Yeshiva when I was a kid. He had a big board on the wall that said Board of Education, B-O-R-E-D.
Wow.
That was, if you're Board of Education, now, I don't think he actually hit anybody. I think he was like trying to be funny. But there was a time that teachers used to hit. I grew up, my third grade Rebbe used to pull our ears. It was like his thing. We didn't like him. Teachers used to hit students. The Gemara says the teacher's allowed to hit students. Some say if you're allowed to hit the students, certainly you ought to take the stuff from the students, because hitting is a worse aveira. Hard to know. It's hard to know exactly what the heter is, but everyone assumes that's mutter for teachers to take stuff from students. Caroline.
Yeah. I mean, what I would think is, like, a lot of schools these days have a handbook, and that might have listed in it certain policies about what you can and can't have.
Yeah, so
about
see,
the
here's
class.
The thing that I figured out as
and
a student.
You have to sign an acknowledgement for.
Right, so that might be true, but one thing I know is that students are much smarter than handbooks. And I remember when I was in their Yisrael in high school, for example, so the yeshiva handbook said that you weren't allowed to have a television. Okay, you can't have a television in the dorm. Great. So what did this guy have? He had something, he had some system that he could basically watch TV without a television.
Like a laptop?
Well, I mean, this was before laptops existed.
But
like that type of thing. And like the next year that made it to the student handbook. Because like...
Right, well, like you can't cover everything.
Right, I understand.
But you could cover something.
Perhaps. So that's like a mechila type of idea.
Or could you theoretically give the teacher like judgment as far as like... Could a student sign away their rights, so to speak, as far as, like, say,
maybe.
I give the teacher the
students
right to...
Students don't sign their rights away.
Right.
Well,
again,
not...
Again.
No, but you have to...
It is... I'm just raising a question that it's not easy to figure out. Everyone assumes it's mutter for a student to take, mutter for a teacher to, it doesn't go the other way. It's not mutter for the student to take the teacher stuff, but it is mutter for the teacher to take the student stuff. Where this comes from, I don't know. Zachary?
So, is it really the kid's stuff, or the, I mean, I get the impression that the parents are fine with me taking my student's stuff when it improves the education in the classroom. And
that's an interesting point. In other words, as a matter of halacha, many of the things belonging to the parents. The only thing is that the parent gives a gift to the kid with Dasa Haris Machne, and the parents are saying, it's now yours. So it could be it doesn't belong to the parents. But if the kid finds something on his own, the halacha is it belongs to the parents. But, again, my son's Pokemon cards, are they mine? Yeah.
Doesn't the Torah say that if you go through someone else's field, you're allowed to pick single grapes, but you can't put them into a vessel? So doesn't that prove that you can steal minute amounts?
That's not stealing. That's a special cool in the Torah that as a worker is entitled to take certain things.
So just a wayfarer.
You're talking about like the din of peya? That's a special halacha.
Like, if it's something somebody else's field, are you allowed to, as long as you don't use a vessel or pot to...
Yeah, again, there are halachas either you're allowed to take payo, or there's halachas if I'm a worker. I don't think I'm allowed to walk into your field and just take stuff. I don't think so. Yeah?
I haven't been in school a long, long time. If a teacher takes stuff from a student, I assume they give it back at the end of the class.
But even so, we learned that the halacha is that stealing is even for a few minutes.
So, okay.
Right? So that's the question. What's the heter for a student? Okay, now let's just talk about a few other things. My sister and I are very close. And I know that anything she has in the house, like, she'll let me take. I can go into her house, my parents, my sister, go into the house and, like, use the refrigerator. I don't live with my parents anymore, but I could go and take any food. Am I allowed to do that?
It's not mine.
But so if they tell me, take whatever you want, whenever you want, that's great. But let's say they don't tell you something. Or let's say I walk around and I see someone's pen on the table. And I know he knows me and I know he's going to say it's okay. Am I allowed to use something without permission? That is not mine. So that's a real question. So let's learn the source and then we'll take...
When it comes to tefillin, though...
So it says in Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to take your tefillin and stuff. It says actually in Shulchan Aruch, I can't take your svarim, because the svarim might rip and get ruined, but like tefillin won't get ruined. Right, so I'm allowed to take your tefillin and use it. I'm allowed to take your talis.
If the person who owns the tefillin is not present, you can take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if he's present, you can ask him, right?
Correct, absolutely. So am I allowed to take your stuff when I know that you would be okay? So the Shach over here in Choshen Mishpat Chinnun Ches, it's the bottom of page 1. We spoke in the context of Aveda about something called Yeyo Shalom Idas. Yeyo Shalom Idas is that you don't know you lost something. If you would know that you lost the thing, you would give up on it. But you don't know that you lost it. So, Taisa says, since we paskin that Yeyo Shalom Idas is not Yeyosh, so therefore I can't take your thing if you don't know I'm taking it. And the Shach disagrees with Tosis. And the Shach says, you know what, that's a halacha by Yeyosh. Yeyosh is that you drop something, you never want it to happen. But to take your stuff when I know that I would want you to do it, I would give it to you, I'd gift it to you, if I would know, that's not a Yeyosh situation. And the Shach therefore says that I am allowed to take your thing without permission if I know that you'd be okay. So the Tosfos assumes that you're not. The Shach says that you are. The unfortunate thing over here is that most poskim paskin like Tosfos, not like the Shach. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, most paskin like Tosfos, not like the Shach. That means I can't take your thing even if I know that you would be okay with it. However, if I have asked you beforehand, and you said it's okay. So I have precedent, so then it's mutter. In other words, I know you. We are nafsho kshura v'nafsho. We love each other. We're really tight. And I know that you would let me use your whatever. Right? I'm not allowed to do it. But if I've already done it with permission and the guy said it's okay, so then I can do it again. That's basically the way the halacha emerges. I always felt that was interesting. Again, I want to like skip a few sources, just talking about Afikomen quickly because time is getting late. It is a little bit strange. I spoke about this as a Shabbos Hagadol Drosha a number of years ago. It's a little bit strange that on the night of the Pesach, Leil HaSeder, which is the night that we're focused the most on chinuch and how to educate our children, etc., we have this practice, right? We have this practice of stealing the Afikomen, which seems to be really, really bad chinuch. It's like really bad. What are you doing with the stealing the Afikomen? And in fact, there have been many people for many years who have been arguing that you're not supposed to do that. If you look in this book, the Nohe Katzon Yosef, who was from Frankfurt am Main, it was printed in 1718. He writes, "Don't be mevatel the minhag." Now, whenever someone writes, don't be mevatel the minhag, that means that there was a strong push to get rid of the minhag. It's very hard to know exactly why the practice of... I mean, why it developed is probably based on Mishnah and Pesachim Kuftes, Machot v'Matzos, but how come we do this? It's not so simple. It's not so simple. The practice of stealing the Afikomen does raise certain halachic issues. It's not a simple thing. Again, the minhag is that it's done. We could defend it based on the same type of logic that we used to defend the teacher taking stuff, etc., that everyone is mochel. It's similar. It's like the Purim idea, but it is really not abundantly simple. The other thing that we would think is simple, but is actually not as simple as we would think, is whether you're allowed to steal for pikuach nefesh. They talk about like the Heinz dilemma, which is, let's say there is a an EpiPen. You need an EpiPen to light. EpiPens cost, I don't know, like $900 a piece now.
Maybe
or something.
Because they're just pathological.
What?
They raise it like...
It's a very...
Take them over.
It's not a good situation. I need an EpiPen. You have an EpiPen. Am I allowed to steal it?
You can steal from the company, not from me.
So, to steal it from a company,
a rapacious company.
Here, I actually brought over here an article that I photocopied a number of years ago. I have to find it. That there was like this British priest who, here, I printed this up from CNN.com that... I don't see the date over here. I have to look. Here. A UK priest has defended his comments that it's acceptable to steal from large companies. Tim Jones, the parish priest of St. Lawrence and St. Hilda, told his congregation in York in Northern England, "My advice as a Christian priest is to shoplift." Basically, what he was saying is, I don't offer such advice because stealing is a good thing, or because I think it's harmless. It's neither. However, you should not steal from small family businesses, but from large businesses. The costs are ultimately passed on, etc. So basically, he's saying that people are so poor that they should steal, but don't steal from mom and pop. Steal from... Again, it's stealing is stealing, and it's very hard as a matter of halacha to justify stealing, let's say...
Why can't you talk about the companies?
But...
We're rapacious companies.
But if
stealing from
everybody. Yeah, so the companies are stealing from us, whatever, but then again, in a market system, so maybe they're allowed to charge whatever. Now, am I allowed to steal to save our lives? So the simple reading of all the sources is that, of course, it's permitted. Pekuach nefesh only does not override three averus in the Torah, Gilei Arayis, Shfichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. Everything else, for pekuach nefesh, you do it. That's a simple reading. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right, in the pekuach nefesh section. Afihu b'sakonis mavet tzarech ligzos chavek tei lahatzo nafsho. You have to take it, but you have to pay back. If I need the EpiPen in order to live, I steal the EpiPen, but I have to pay it back after. That's a simple halacha. The issue, however, comes up. Let me just get a few more sentences. I'll take your question. The Gemara Bava Kama tells us a story that Vayisaver David Vayomer Mi Yashkeni Ma'im Mi Bar Beis Lechem Asher Bashar. David HaMelech desires something. He says, "I want water from Beis Lechem," and he sends three people, and they go and they draw water. So what's David asking? Right, the Gemara is doing like a homiletic over here. My kamabayale, amiravam rav nachman, tamim the eish kamabayale. His first question is a technical detail in the halachos of the mazik of eish. Rav Huna says, gedeshan the saorin di yisoh hafu, dava matri polishtim behu, bekamabayalehu, mal lahatz ma'atzma mamin chaveiro. Sholchale, osir lahatz ma'atzma mamin chaveiro. The Gemara in Bava Kama tells us that David HaMelech has a question. And that question is, am I allowed to save myself with your money? And the Sanhedrin answered, no. Asur l'hatzel atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. Now, Tosfos says that the Gemara doesn't really mean that. What the Gemara means is, am I allowed to take it, right, and not pay back? Or can I take it and I have to pay back? That's why Tosfos understands the question. Tosfos According to Tosfos, the question is, they have to pay back when they steal from Pekuach Nefesh. But Reb Yaakov Etlinger was the Rav of Ahu, which is Altuna and whatever, according to one tradition, he gave a smicha to Rabbeinu Hirsch. So Reb Yaakov Etlinger in the Tshuvas Binyan Si and in Siman Kuf Samach Zion, Reb Yaakov Etlinger notes that if you read that Gemara with Rashi, Rashi understands the question is, am I allowed to steal for Pekuach Nefesh? And the answer is no. When I say that Pekuach Nefesh is Docha everything, that means everything that is considered Bein Adam Lamakom. Murder is a Bein Adam Lamakom once you're Mochel. If I say kill me, so that's Bein Adam Lamakom only. But a Bein Adam Lachaveiro, if the guy doesn't say kill me, or to take your stuff without permission, according to Rashi, Pekuach Nefesh does not override stealing. That is wild. That is absolutely... Again, we don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin it does override. But the position of Rashi is worth noting. That Rashi holds that you cannot steal for purposes of Pekuach Nefesh. Again, we don't paskin that way. So in the Heinz Dilemma case or whatever, we would say that obviously you're allowed to steal to save your life. That seems to be the simple halacha. Zachary.
So far the Pekuach Nefesh situation that we're thinking about is something that's like about to happen like on its own, but like what about in a self-defense situation? Like, am I allowed to take the gun?
Of course.
You know, okay. Yeah. But like in Shmita's Davim in a way even like...
Again, you're saying according to Rashi am I allowed to take the gun? I mean, again, I don't think it's hard to know if even Rashi agreed with the Binyan Sion's take on Rashi. Of course, the guy's about to shoot you, so you know, you trip him, you take the gun. Are you allowed to kill him with that gun? Probably. Although, as a matter of halacha, once I have the gun and he can't kill me, it's not so simple that I could kill him. But yeah.
Do all these laws apply equally to Jews and non-Jews?
Yeah, so this is the question that Frida...
That's my job.
This is what we call the Frida question. Again, I'll say it like this. Alpi halacha is a discussion whether Gezel Akum is mutter or usser. As a matter of halacha, we pask in Gezel Akum is usser. It might not be exactly the same isser as regular Gezela. The Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah, it's based on Pasuk Sheris Yisrael Lo Yasu Avla. It's based, but you're not allowed to steal from Goyim. That's point one. You're not allowed. Point two is, A, we pass in Gezel Akum is Asar. B, even if Gezel Akum is Mutter, in a non-apologetic sense, it probably does not apply to the people who we live around. Sometimes the Chachamim say that as a sense of apologetics. Over here, the Rishonim who speak about Gezel Akum being Mutter, they speak about how Gezel Akum is Mutter because... How Gezel Akum is Mutter because they don't really care about other people's money. It's like a barbaric society that everyone takes from everybody. But in a society that's governed by law, so even if you don't accept the Meiri in other contexts, it's easier to accept it in Gezel Akum. In fact, the one time when this Meiri actually makes it to classical sources is in the Gezel Akum context. The Shita Mekubetzes is put on the side of the page here in Bava Kama Kofi Gimel. He quotes this Mi'iri, so this Mi'iri was actually known, at least in that context. It's easier to accept the Mi'iri in the context of Gezel than in other contexts. We've spoken about this Mi'iri many times, probably, but the short answer is no, you're not allowed to.
Isn't there a percepta that it's worse to steal from the non-Jew because of the
Chol? Yeah, so the Chol Hashem aspect, obviously it makes it... Sometimes people... let me turn off the tape and say something.